Sherry Cook Stanforth grew up here in Claremont County, and she is one multi-talented woman. She's the founder and director of Thomas More College's Creative Writing Vision Program. At Thomas More, she teaches fiction, poetry, environmental and ethnic literatures, and folklore. She currently serves as faculty advisor for Words, the campus literary magazine, and is co-editor of Pine Mountain Sand and Gravel, the literary journal of the Southern Appalachian Writers Cooperative. Additionally, she is a musician and singer, and her recordings include From One Time to Another, Stone Soup, and It's Only September. Drone String is her first full poetry collection, and we are going to talk about it tonight. Sherry, it's a delight to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you for coming. So given the times we live in, the word drone, I think, conjures up weapons of war for many of us. You use it in a very different way. So tell us, if you would, the meaning of Drone String and why you titled this anthology in that way.
I come from an Appalachian family music tradition, and Drone String is inspired by the mountain dulcimer, which is an original indigenous instrument to this country. It was inspired by the Appalachian immigrants. And a drone string on a dulcimer is that constant sound that you hear when you fret another note on the dulcimer. That will be the constant. That note, as you're strumming, will stay the same. So it represents a kind of continuity when other things are changing in the music.
Is it a foundation of a piece? Could you refer to it as that, as the sort of underlying basis for it?
I would say that it is the recurring tone that exists that unifies the rest of the sound.
And so that certainly speaks to this collection of poems and your homage, really, to your relatives, to your growing up, to your heritage. So without further ado, if you would, read Drone String for us.
We all have our porch songs ready to pull from the case, mine smelling of red dirt flecked with mica, tasting iron wet from Brasstown Bald Creek's current. Hear the drone strumming one round note over and over again, telling how the old folks left the aisles, scrabbled up dinner, hollering for the whippoorwill, the blackest crow, cuckoo crooning of a pretty sarrow gone forever from home, a place now grounded in the mountain's shadow. I rise from the dark creek water, baptized by wailing harmonies, sung in a way to cut my ears so I will not to forget to come from this dulcimer, shaped like an hourglass, strumming out tunes blown from the grove, from the grave. My mother's dulcimer sings of time gone by. So easy to play, folks say, but they don't hear like I do. The whine of a northbound train or shouts from a boy felling logs of white pine onto Tennessee ground. Melody shaped, then plucked robin's egg blue, the tones of four generations steered straight by aunts and grandmothers who set their jawlines sharper than the Cherokee ridges, made to climb the valley of shadows, chanting, finding no rest between slow-sounded notes. My mother's calloused fingers hold down the strings of this good old song I sing.
So while we're on the subject of music, I understand that the program you've created at Thomas More melds music, the natural environment. It's an interactive program. So tell us about how that works with creative writing.
I will. Creative Writing Vision is very special to me. The idea behind it is to bring people together around the writing in an interactive way. We're especially interested in reaching underserved populations and bringing diverse populations together. So you might have children in a K-12 school system interacting with poet laureates. You might also have local or community writers, regional writers there inside of that circle. And what we try to do is we try to bring people close to the creative process through many forms of art. And we do that through a writer in residence. We do it through community retreats. Also bring in visiting writers for various bookstore and library programs.
I want to have you read another poem because many of your poems reference, as you put it, steel-spined women in your life and in your growing up. So if you would read us Great Grandma's Crow Lament.
Come all ye fair and tender ladies, be mindful how you court young men. They're like a star on a summer morning. They'll first appear, and then they're gone. Great-grandma's crow lament. Talk about bad signs. One time a crow flew in the breezeway door right into the kitchen. Quick, I slammed down a skillet still hot in my hand. That bird bled out a rain puddle, black glass eyes chilling me to the bone 100 nights after. I kneeled down to Jesus, cleaned that shadow the minute it took to my threshold. No matter. By season's end, your papaw was dead, and me alone with things falling down around my head, save two babies still sleeping in the cradle. Years I tried keeping us tied together, told how that man could sing, could hew us a table out of stone-hard ash, how he downed a wildcat in one shot up there on the ridge in the fallen dark. Hear me good, girl. Set your mind to lose whatever you got in this world, 'cause nothing steals back time or keeps a man in place once he's called. Not even a sharp-eyed woman, quickened by cast iron, hell-bent on barring the door.
I'm guessing you've got some of that steel in your spine, because not only do you have this ambitious program that you run at Thomas More, as well as your music, I also understand you are a wife and mother of four. So the question is, whenever do you write?
That is a question that I sometimes must ask myself. But I will say that I feel so happy to be at Thomas More because that institution is filled with interpersonal energy and it's very supportive of the faculty who are there. And it features a lot of interpersonal interaction in the classroom with a ratio of 15 to 1. So the time that I really spend writing during the day is with my students in a circle. We engage and share each other's work. Sounds really make their way into my creative repertoire. Since I'm a musician, I'm tuned to the lilt and the tones of people's voices. So conversational settings are promising for me when it comes to creative process. I'll often go to coffee shops to write because I'm inside of an ambiance where people are talking and interchanging, and frequently my ideas will come to me then.
Well, your fine ear certainly shows up in your poetry because I think that you really bring, in this case, so many of your ancestors alive or moments in time. I want to thank you so much for visiting with us tonight.
Thank you very much.
I've been talking with Sherry Cook Stanforth about her collection of poems. It is titled Drone String, and you'll find more information about it at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.
Time is winding up.